Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
He's listening, that he's present. I want to express that Rai Oberland was present today during the yard site at Svarim Bring, the 3 days surrounding the yard. Some say 3 days before, 3 days after. Some say the 3 days, a day before, a day after. But Svarim Bring, the neshama comes, whatever this means, they're more on this earth. They have an awareness always. There's some bechina that they hang out here more. And I want to express that we're making this gathering in the presence of Rai Oberlander, and I want to express that we owe a tremendous gratitude, this yeshiva, every guy, whether the guys here are living in that space of gratitude, I can invite you to enter that space of gratitude. Somebody built this place that you love. Somebody put a lot to create such a place is nuts. 17 years ago, when I wanted to start this place, a Yid who himself is in Olam Haba today called me up, and for a half hour, screaming and yelling, a very good person who cared about me deeply, he said, "Don't do it, Daniel. It's impossible. Don't do it. Don't create. I know what you want to make." And he said, "It's impossible. It can't be done. I get what you're saying. It can't be done. It can't be done. I beg you not to do it. I beg you, don't do it. Others have tried, don't do it." The person said incredibly smart things why it can't be done and did have some understanding of what I wanted to do. But one of the main people who put his life into the high school that all of us are zeicher to be part of and gain from was Rai Oberlander. It was Rav Ram Zechariah Menachem, Ben Tzvi Yehuda, is one of the people. I get confused. My son is Huda Tzvi, is Yehuda Tzvi. Ben Tzvi Yehuda. Rai Oberlander put incredible amounts into our Masifta, put his life, invested incredibly into the Masifta, and created and put structures in place. There are Rebbeim in the Masifta that are Talmidim, Chaveirim, we're all friends of his. Rabbi Silverman, Rabbi Wisnicki had a relationship, maybe a Talmud Chaver, Chaverim, Talmidim. It's not for me, they'll define their relationship, but they were extremely, extremely close to Rai Oberlander, and he invested tremendous amounts. I want to express that his care for davening was something beautiful. I've spoken a little bit about his Shabbos and his attachment to Shabbos, his care for Shabbos, the doing things for Shabbos, the Einik Shabbos. The Einik Shabbos was elite because it had so many, it was holy, there was Ka'ech Seif and song that was like full of Dveikas, but there was also his son Kiki doing card tricks. It was so authentic and nice and homey and comfortable, and to me anything holy has to have jokes. I like Waterbury Kumsitzes because you go to a Kumsitz, oh, you're tense. I find I can't pull in. I can't. It doesn't do much for me. Make an intense kumsitz. When you try to intensity usually is a symptom of not having something. You're trying to get something, trying to be something. When you have something, you don't need to be intense. Rabbi Brownson and I talk about events in yeshiva. We were talking about graduation, and we were clearing what to do. We had a tzad, let's just party. Why are we doing anything? No speeches. Let's party for a couple of hours. We have such a tzad. And we said we actually like each other, like people. The graduation. We actually like each other. It's funny, you make the event, what do you have to do anything for? We like people really like, I like Avi and I like each other. Yankov, we like each other. Chaim, Yisrael. Like, we Mamish could have a nice time. Like, you don't have to like do that much. Intensity is in lieu of like when you have stuff. When you have something real. Anybody goes to a shiva house, the shiva houses that are the most powerful, there's laughing and crying. If there's no laughing, there's very little real crying. Because they're trying, it's sad. People walk in. Stop. So you don't have to do anything. It's mamish sad. Mamish that people, somebody left. In the healthy shiva homes that are the most powerful, there's always like a good joke said there. Because people, when you suppress, if you suppress happiness, you can't feel sadness. If you suppress sadness, you can't feel happiness. Just be and like soak in what is. His Einig Shabbos was crazy. because it was enforced. He liked Shabbos. Shabbos was a real thing. And in that security and comfort, his kids were doing card tricks. Guys were coming and shalunt and jokes. And then there was like, wow. There was a ka'echseif, there was miris, there were divrei Torah. It was like a beautiful maimed of Shabbos Kodesh. And in many ways, Rai Oberlander brought our Masifta Shabbos. Till today, the Iker force, the most powerful force in the Masifta Shabbos Kodesh, the most powerful force in the Masifta, I personally feel, is the force of Shabbos. Shabbos is powerful here. And guys, David Black, I went on a walk, I lost my mind. You validated 17 years of a yeshiva. One David Black, the sincerity, the growth, what you are is beautiful. And his description of liking Shabbos, liking being with his parents, liking Shabbos was amazing. And this is a place of Shabbos. Rai Oberlander brought us and handed us. He ran the first 7 years Shabbos. He ran the Shabbos. I was only zeichet to be there Shalosh Shudas, but the Shabbos was him. Everything's exact by Hashem. And somebody who had such a tfisa, such a appreciation for Shabbos, started the Shabbos that we have in the Masifta. But I want to say is prayer also. I love what's happening by chakras here these days. There's a beautiful field. Binyamin started us off. But there's many chevra coming in. Leli's part of Ram. There's many, many chevra by cats. There's many chevra here davening. And today we had four kehanim by Yashar. So beautiful, massive. And he was somebody who valued, appreciated. To watch him daven, he appreciated prayer. Appreciated tefillah, took it very serious, demanded a certain decorum, there should be a certain matzah by Dan. He ran the tefillahs for the first many years of the yeshiva. And the appreciation for somebody who created the culture, the structure, and many aspects of our yeshiva is tremendously, tremendously appreciated. I asked Rai Silverman and Rabbi Wisnicki to each share, if they could share some Divrei Torah, some Divrei Zikaron. Any messages, any chizuk, any inspiration, any kabbalah we make should and will be Bez Hashem and Eloi for his precious neshama. I think in general the shneiging that's done here is for sure an Eloi for his neshama. But this gathering that's meant for Rai Oberlander should be an Eloi for his precious neshama. I want to thank Eli for coming to Yeshiva today. Thank you for being back on the road. How many years ago, Eli, were you in Yeshiva? 2013, 2004, so it's actually 13 years ago. It's actually true. 12 and 13, 13 years ago, Eli was here, so he knows what I'm talking about. I want to ask... I was thinking a full share for a few minutes, and then we'll go to Rai Silverman.
In some ways, even a little before the Patira, different. I find myself going through different tekufas of appreciating different aspects of Rabbi Oberlander. Obviously, we all have things that will come to our mind at different moments, but I find myself in stretches. You know, there are Talmidim who literally think of him every day. I can say I think of him every day, but it wouldn't be an exaggeration. Probably once every 10, 14 days, once every 2 weeks or so, I'll think about him. What's hit me the last few weeks I would say three aspects that hit me the last few weeks that have been on my mind. one thing I remembered when I think he started the Chabura with Rebbe in the Beis Medrash. I think I was in third year. And he was running second Seder, Rebbe was running first Seder. And if you were in that Chabura, you were very well taken care of. And there was something was, for me, it wasn't easy to approach him. Somehow I got over that, probably because of my brother who was close with him. And I went over to him and I asked him, I said, I'm not good in learning. I struggled mightily in learning. Would you learn with me to help me improve in learning? So he said, I'll think about it, I'll get back to you. He came back the next day, a few days later, I don't remember exactly how long, and he offered to learn with me every day from 8:30 to 9 in his house. What? Meobline. And I would go to his house every day from 8:30 to 9, and I would sit there butchering words in Gemara. I did not know how to learn. He wouldn't let me use an art scroll, and we'd sit there, remember it was Maseches Sukkah, and word for word, line after line, every day repeating the same. And what hit me now was a very big favor that he was doing. He did it for a few months and I appreciated it. What hit me is how big he was in learning, and we didn't know this. We weren't cognizant of it when he was running the Masifta. It wasn't the focus. He gave his shiurim that were excellent and very clear. He had his Mishnah Berurah shiur, he had his Mesillas Yesharim shiur, he had his Chaburas. But it wasn't the focus. His focus for us was, he was a Rebbe's Rebbe. He was running the yeshiva. Everyone speak about it. He was behind the scenes of everything happening in yeshiva. His Limud HaTorah was not our focus. And what came out towards the end of his life to me, and certain things that he said to me and things that I pieced together, was his Smadas HaTorah, and his level of learning was extraordinarily high. He was a serious Talmud Chacham. He accidentally told me that he had a Chavrusa Shaft with someone who's a Rosh Hashiva now for 3 years straight. After three full Siddurim, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. every night, I confirmed it with the Chavrusa, who's a very big person in learning. Meaning he was very, very big in learning. And funny, we spoke about patience today in class. The patience he had with me to sit and for a half hour straight every day for months on end, and give me the time and the space to develop myself, because that's what I'm supposed to do. It hit me very heavily the last few weeks. That's something I'm supposed to do right now. If I'm supposed to learn a block Gemara, that's where I am. I'm supposed to be helping somebody in this way, that's what I'm doing. I'm all in on whatever he's doing. I'm like sitting with this last few weeks. That was an incredible patience and care of an individual who needs something, who wants something, and I'll put aside other things to fully focus on him and help him with his own development. I think, in a certain sense, it's like a snapshot or an overall picture of who he was. It's one thing that hit me. The second thing that hit me, that I've been focusing on, I should say, I was saying this last night to a bunch of his Talmidim, and the Kelsh is right. Like, I don't know exactly how to define my relationship. In some ways we were friends, in some ways I was a Talmud, I guess a Chaver Talmud. A Chaver Talmud, I don't know. He wasn't this, I don't know how to say this right. I guess don't leave after the sentence. He wasn't this tzaddik. He wasn't the tzaddik. He was so normal. And in a way, so reachable. Like, his There's a godless in how relatable he was. He was remarkable. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. He was out of this world. It wasn't normal what he was doing. What he was doing, how much he was doing, at what level he was doing it, the amount of people that relied on him on a kleistic level, on an individualistic level, families, yeshivas, camps, balachrayas, on a large scale, a small scale, it was very, I don't know too many people like that, very rare. But so normal and down to earth and just so attainable. I took it as like a chizuk. Like there's someone to look at and try to model and appreciate and strive towards. It wasn't... I didn't feel like I'm sitting in front of the Gadol Hadar and it's like out of my world. But really, he was out of my world. It's like a funny thing to express. I don't know how to say it exactly. And maybe it slides into the third thing. As I sat around the table last night, we were 10 people of all different types and different personalities. And you had the practical person to my left, you have the extraordinarily emotional person to my right, and all different types around the table. And I feel like when again, for those who know, when Momo Steyerman is to my left and he's, you know, a doer and he's practical and he's, you know, accomplishing, I can see a Rabbi Oberlander in him. Like a part of Rabbi Oberlander is like lighting up, so to speak, with like the just getting things done and more and more. He spoke about, funny enough, you know, the idea of how busy he was without being so busy. Rabbi Oberlander, he said we didn't feel he was that busy. He had the time for us. He had the ability to listen to us and schmooze with us. And whether it, as someone has expressed before, whether it was which broom to buy, which broom to buy or which yeshiva to go to, or how I should be mechanach my child. For someone so busy, I mean, as you're ending the yeshiva year here from Pesach to end of the year, he's also busy with starting up a camp, a very, very large camp in the mountains. Like, and as he's ending camp, he's starting up a yeshiva, very busy. And yet, he had so much time. So Mo was saying, like, he's like taking on a muster, really giving all of us muster. Like, don't be so busy. Don't be so busy. Like, you're not that busy. He never expressed he's so busy. It's like Momo's being Momo, and he's lighting up a certain aspect of Rabbi Oberlander. And then you had another person being himself, and he's activating another part of Rabbi Oberlander, and you have all these different components, and the Talmidim, you see so many different personalities. You see so many different lifestyles and ways to live, from the most, you know, quote-unquote religious to the most irreligious, to the most stubborn, to the most easygoing, and so multifaceted. It was an appreciation of an individual in front of him. A celebration. I'm going to express one more thing, and I feel bad if I'm not getting it over clearly. I'm having a hard time expressing it. And it could be, you know, we should really take a step back and describe him more. But just a midah that I really I appreciate and strive for. And it came out in conversation last night. I'll say it like this. Guys are trying to figure out where to go next year. So I've gotten a few comments, some more forward, some more backhanded, like a little annoyed. Like, okay, I'll ask you where to go. You know, I know you're not going to answer me anyway. You know, and snide remarks like that. And really, it's Rabbi Oberlander's fault. He taught me, and he taught us Talmidim, how to trust ourselves. And the classic response to anything you asked him was, what do you think? And he wasn't playing a role or using a line. He really wanted to know, what do you think? You have a question. You have the koyach to figure out what to do. You have the ability to figure out what's best for you. Yes, I can help sharpen the different studim. I can help sharpen and be curious and help you highlight certain points. But ultimately, you have a decision to make. Trust your instinct. Trust your gut. It doesn't mean don't think about it. Of course, it means to think and go through and sit down with a friend or a Rebbe or a mentor or a Rav, somebody, and discuss the options and clarify the options. But he really taught through discussion with you, and really from watching him, you see it, this combination of a humble confidence. There was nobody you want more at the forefront of any crisis, because there was certain confidence, a gibor, strength of a person. It was like a picture, like a leader, like just coming to the forefront to lead a group in a desperate or serious situation. There's a real leadership quality in that, with at the same time a humility. He taught us that to trust ourselves. It's like the opposite of the ultimate gaslighting that many of us do with ourselves. We struggle with decisions that we either were taught or we teach ourselves not to trust our own gut. He taught us to really reflect within ourselves, what should I do? Someone was saying how last night in his get-together he went to in Brooklyn, it was so multifaceted. It was sad and happy and jokes. And we had this similar experience at the table. I was saying how I couldn't do that 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I didn't know how to just be myself and be present. And it was, in a certain way, like it was we were able to joke around throughout the night and funny lines and funny things. And, you know, we were reminiscing all the funny lines he had, or the way he would imitate people's walks or things people would say. I don't know if you were around for this, Yaakov Breuer, he's a Breuer bro. He picked up on certain words he would say. And guys were laughing. Yaakov was there. He was laughing about it. And he was very careful. It was never at someone's expense. But he knew how to just be. And I hope I'm giving over a picture in some way, shape, or form. But it's... I'll say one last thing. Just, you know, we were reminiscing about the Levaya. And in my estimation, there were probably 1,000 people there in the room. That's my guess. And you had from all walks of life. And this is what I mean by so normal. His friends came. We're talking about someone who's so busy. Like, how do you have time for friends? His friends came. I know his friends. They're a few years older than me, but my brother's friends, I know them. They're very close to him. Not they were close to him like 15 years ago before he became so big and so busy. He was close to them, sending voice notes at the time. You know, throughout the last, you know, 10, 15 years when he was running yeshiva and running a camp, his friends were his friends. He was normal. He was boys with them. And then he had a yeshiva. Heichal showed up. It wasn't like the classy move for Heichal to show up because he was menahal there for 2 years. I know some of his talmidim from Heichal. They are real talmidim. I know them from Tina. These guys are 18, 19, 20 years old, and they were so close, and they appreciated, they got him, they understood him, they nailed it. And it wasn't like a classy move. You had all walks of life in camp, and parents of campers from camp, and talmidim, and parents of talmidim. You had so many different aspects of Rabbi Oberlander showing up to his Levaya, so to speak. And so multifaceted, so normal and present by each one. I'm overwhelmed by it. But I think I'm overwhelmed because I think so many of these things are attainable as a person. I can reach inside and develop myself in all these things that I'm appreciating, from Liman HaTorah to Tefillah to Shabbos, like Rabbi said, and being there for people and being there for family. And his kids described, he has described me, like, so busy, yet again, like, we can all jump in a lake because he has a son to take care of. So multifaceted. Somebody called me recently, a guy who's a young father, So he's married, he has a son, he has a job. He's trying to keep up his own learning, his own tefillah. So many things to balance. I think he was asking for an eitzah, and I'm just like, saying, you got it right. It's like a prime example for us as friends of his, as talmidim of his, that there was somebody who somehow seemed to manage and balance all of it perfectly, without being perfect, but managed it perfectly in a way, managed is the wrong word, but lived it all perfectly, experienced it all perfectly, that we can look up to. And yeah, we have to have tremendous appreciation that he did build this yeshiva. He is the foundation of this yeshiva with Rebbe. I hope his neshama has an aliyah from all the words spoken yesterday, last night, today.
Thank you, Rabbi Wisnicki. Rabbi Wisnicki said many amazing things. I appreciate each one that was said. Rabbi Wisnicki describes, and we're describing, I don't know if I'm a Talmud Chaver, a Chaver Talmud, and the relation, I want to share with you guys before I ask Rabbi Silverman, I want to share this with you, Morty. Avi, I want you to hear this. There was somebody who started our yeshiva 17 years ago, and it was very interesting. As a menahel, guys came from very mainstream yeshivas, many of the guys. Please, I want you to all hear this, that there was somebody who's running the Masifta, and in some ways he was called, some guys called him Obi. Now his name, you come from yeshiva, you have Rabbi Flusker, Reb Maron, you know, and also you have Obi as the menahel. And not being Rebbe-like. Now, people talk about the words, my Rebbe's so relatable. There's a very deep thing. Our yeshiva is, the roots of our yeshiva are in a yeshiva called Pshischa. That's, having studied now Pshischa, that's where we come from. That's where our Shurashim, that's where our roots in many ways come from. In the world of Pshischa, when we say a Rebbe's relatable, we're automatically saying he's different, but he gives something relatable. Rai Oberlander, guys were confused. Is he a Rebbe? Is he not a Rebbe? Rebbeim don't typically dress so nicely. The way he enjoyed a cup of coffee, the way he was so worldly, the way he was so engaging. So is he a Rebbe? At his Levaya, people who knew him, the Levaya was Levaya in Adam Gadol. The crowd, you can go to, we should all not have Levayas. People should have Gesund and Arichas Yamim. Amen. I've been to quite a few Levayas. You don't see the size Levaya that he had. His funeral was, people can say number and exaggerate. It was packed. There were over 1,000 people there easily. It was packed. And it was the Levaya, the funeral of Gadol, and people who were close to him said, when did this happen? And you had hundreds and hundreds of Talmidei Chachamim, B'nai Torah, who called him Rebbe, who leaned on him for advice. People close to him was like, when did this happen? He was like, Obi. Now, he was a masmid. He learned very nicely and seriously. I knew him as a bacher. I knew him as a bacher, a masmid, a ben Torah, beautiful. One of the guys. And I feel like Hashem picked him to start our yeshiva. Our yeshiva is not a place of titles, of the Rebbe is. We're all humans. We're all very human who relate to each other, who understand each other, who go through. A girl called me last night. I was driving with Akiva, and a girl called up and shared. She shared a shaila that she had so much shame from, and it was like a story I completely relate to. It was like my story, your story, and the understanding that Hashem sent humans here, and we're all humans, and a human being could be very, very big. I promise that could be. A human being should be big. A human being is very big. the sugya of Rai Oberlander that people grapple, he was so normal. He was like my best friend. He was so big. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's accurate. And it's so cool that he's the one who started this yeshiva. Because the yeshiva is a place, and it's only steiged in this manner. It's a place of honesty and realness, authenticity. You don't play things in Pshischa. You don't try to... The shtark guy, the guy... I'm talking about David. I went on a walk with him. I was like jaw-dropping, and his kesher to Rabbi Russ, it's hard to even define. Is he Rebbe? Is he best friend? I don't know. We're close. Avadis, my Rebbe. People like say my Rebbe's relatable. Your Rebbe's a human. Your Rebbe's a human and reach big heights. I had my own watching Rai Oberlander. He was a very big person because people could be very, very big, and he reached series comfortably and smartly and step by step. He became a very big person, very, very, very big, very close to Hashem, a huge light, a Dehaiben, an elevated, exalted person. But so normal, because that's what we are. That's what we're neshamas. It's, of course, it's like Pashat. Person sits and prays to God. Person slowly, person does their things they're supposed to in a serious way, in a sincere way. We're shayach to Gadlus. When my Rebbe was nifter, I fell on the floor. I couldn't stand. I couldn't get up. I was lying down on the floor. I couldn't move. And many thoughts went through my mind. Sitting, lying on the floor, I couldn't move. And one of the thoughts were, my Rebbe knows now. My Rebbe valued me and gave me chizuk and was mechabed me like a Rebbe's supposed to. And I had a sense, my Rebbe knows my secrets now. He knows my flaws. He knows my humanness. I was like very, very embarrassed and worried about that. And lying there for hours, one of the things that occurred to me is my Rebbe was open about humanness. My Rebbe's the one who taught me that we're humans and we can be very big. Humans with history, with past, with mistakes, and yet we can serve Hashem, yet we can put on tefillin, say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lekin Hashem Echad. The story of Rai Oberlander's life to me, who was from the first Rebbeim, the starters of our Masifta, was the story of Obi. Even people talk about the Talmidim that say Rebbe or Obi. It's a story that a human being, a normal us humans, frail humans, humans who make mistakes, humans who are just very human, could be very big. And that's really the story of our Masifta. That's the environment of our Masifta, how normal guys could, like, I was talking to somebody recently about Shlomo Gurry. We were talking about him. He's a big person, Bemis, a very big person. He's so normal. He's in leagues with us. We can get into a fight with him. I got into good fights with him. And yet he's so big. It's the story of our Masifta. It's not a place of titles. It's not a place of authenticity, of honesty. Like a guy who's like so normal, has a nice coffee, like could talk about a nice pair of shoes, who I could tell you, and I spend 7 years talking to the person hours a day. I spend 7 years of my life talking to him many, many hours a day. He was a very big person. Rai Oberlander. It's good, but I'm being unclear. That's very fair, Becky. It's hard. I feel like Rai was sneaky. Because I'm getting lost in my own things and speaking. So I'm like forgetting, you know, that Rai was sneaky, we struggle with that. Because we also want to, I want to go back. And then I'm like, oh, I'm talking, I'm speaking. So I was not clear, you're right, Matthew? And I am jumping around. But Rai Oberlander, I spent 7 years with Rabbi Oberlander talking many hours a day. And I could say he was a big person. He was a person, a human being, who made something, did the right things, and we're neshamas, we're big people. We come from big places in very honest, sincere ways. He became and was a very, very lofty person who cared about others, who Rabbi Wisnicki said, one of the marks of Rai Oberlander is he nailed every job. There were many jobs to the person. He was a husband, he was a father, he was a Rebbe, he was a community man, and he like nailed every job. I think you nail every job when you show up. If you try to be, I think the fact that he was OB here is why. If you try to play Rebbe, I don't think you could play Rebbe, husband, father, community member. It's too many jobs to play. If you show up as OB, he was a Rebbe. It wasn't really a guys are grappling. He was a Rebbe? Like, when did this happen? In a Hanami, he didn't play Rebbe. If you play Rebbe, you can't play Rebbe, husband, father. You can't play so many things. As far as roles in a movie, you can't act all the different parts. It's very tiring to act anyway. If you act anything, you get exhausted. It's exhausting. People come back from school crazy tired because they can't be themselves. The guys here are less tired. If you put in a full day, you'd be less tired. When you're yourself, you don't get so tired. The more guys have taught me to be myself, I come out of a day less tired, working harder. If you're just yourself, if I could be a little more annoyed and angry and frustrated, the more I'm me, the less tired I am at the end of the day. The more I try to be something, it's exhausting to be something else. I think Ray Oberlander nailed so many jobs because he was OB. Because wow. He wasn't that guy, like being a Rebbe. He wasn't busy with the sugya. Talmidim today are grappling. Rebbe? But he was OB. Like, I picture a guy like grappling with his good friend. He was Rebbe Lemahadra. That's the Spitz. That's the only Rebbe. The Rebbe was not trying to be Rebbe. The Rebbe was not playing Rebbe. He was just a beautiful person, elevated person. And we're appreciative. We're appreciative the Rebbeim that we get to tap in today. Rabbi Wisnicki called him a chaver, a Talmud. It doesn't. The identification is hard because we had a Rebbe who was just authentically serving Hashem, and we looked up to him a lot, and that brought us places. So I wanted to ask Rabbi Silverman to share about his Rebbe as well.
I want to speak a little bit like extreme because I feel like what I want to do really is it's really hard when I've been in a place where someone's speaking about someone you don't know, and like they're talking of, and it's there's something like disconnecting. I want to know clearly the person who's speaking wants me to know about this person, but it's hard to like give over a person. The way that I want to say it is like this. I feel like if you're looking for a Rebbe in your life, this is what you should look for. It's a very radical way to speak. What I really mean to say is this is what my Rebbe did for me. That's what I'm really saying. This is what my Rebbe was for me in my life. And I think, you know, people say appreciate things while you have them. People always say, oh, you're in yeshiva now, appreciate it now. Oh, you have that Rebbe now, appreciate him now. Everyone appreciate it. So I really think the truth is of course you appreciate it. You experienced it. If I'm in it, I'm appreciating it. If I'm experiencing goodness, then it's being appreciated. I think later in life, you like look back and you unravel some of the things that are resting in your heart. And you could identify, well, that's why I appreciated that so much. Like, that's why I felt so good there. Of course, if you're experiencing goodness, you will appreciate it. That's just a fact. Now, can you always express it? Maybe yes, maybe no. I feel like as I get older and as I look places and I try to identify, understand what Rabbi Oberlander was for me, like it, oh wow, he was there too. Like it identifies to me why I had so much appreciation to him. Does that make sense? Meaning it almost puts words to the feelings that I felt that I couldn't necessarily express. And I think feelings in general are funny. Like last night, I was in Brooklyn with a lot of friends. It was really special just to be with friends. And like I came home and I was like on my way home, I felt like so light. Like I felt like, wow, like, you know, maybe we actually got through this. And then this morning I woke up and I didn't feel that way at all. I feel like really sad. I miss him a lot. I really miss him a lot. And I want to tell you about Rabbi Oberlander a little, what he was for me. Number one, think that a lot of people, since he died, a lot of people feel really unsettled. I apologize if I'm just trying to share what I'm feeling. I hope it comes out some level of clarity, but I feel like if you see that I'm actually experiencing something, like, I want you to know who this person was to me. And I think who this person was to so many people, I feel like it could actually, it could mean something to us. You know, there's like a certain level of being in his presence was literally the most calming thing in the world. You could be going through anything, literally anything, and you're around him and everything's like, oh, I can do this. I can do this thing. Whatever that thing was, there was a security blanket type of feeling. I do feel a lot of people here were his colleagues, I feel like I was a Talmud of his. Like, I was never a colleague of his. He was my best friend, but that's probably why I was his Talmud. And the sense that you got being around him was like, everything is okay. Practically, everything is actually okay. I don't know what he did to do that. I don't know what work he put in his own life to be able to give that off. But there was a sense in his space that everything is okay. And in a space like that, a person could share, it was really the safest space that I can remember in my life, one of the most safe spaces. And I feel like it's like the deepest desire for people to be able to be held by someone. And I don't mean held, I mean like that you can share anything with a person and you will see that it didn't faze them. You don't have to like worry, okay, that was a little bit intense, what's he actually thinking about me? You could tell from the way that he was that nothing that you can say would rattle him in terms of who you are as a person, in terms of the challenges that you were facing. It was really the safest space in the world. You know, the Mishnah says, and I don't really want to, I'm only saying this Mishnah because I felt this morning. It says, you know, if your Rebbe is similar to an angel, then you should seek Torah from him. And what's an angel? An angel is a massive thing, but an angel takes up no space. What does that mean to me is that this massive thing has space for everything. That's what's so big about this angel. There's literally space for everything. You could share anything with the person. And it was, you don't even have to. When you know you have that person, you're around him. It's mamash the hasrim imenu yagon v'anafi. You really felt safe. And I don't know if I'm trying to like, I want you to know, like, that's enough to talk about, I think. That there's a person that existed in the world that people, human beings, in the year 2022, 2023, can go to and sit in his presence and feel totally fine with themselves. That existed. It existed for me. Things were small, like, I don't mean small, like things were negotiable. Things were interactable. You could deal with things. A person in their marriage, like, a husband and a wife feel safe to go and speak to a human being about some things that are really going on in between them, that's a really safe space. A person shares a really vulnerable feeling with the person and it doesn't register that you have affected this person's feeling about you in the slightest, is the safest space. And I feel like for me, that was it was just so common. Another aspect that I feel like a lot of times in life we're searching for validation. Like, is he proud of me? He was such an effusive person. I hear him, you know, he called me Chesk. My mom called, you know, my family called me that. He called me that. I could do that was awesome. That was awesome. Everything you did. That was awesome. That was awesome. I could hear him now saying it. You're doing a good job now. I could hear him saying it. I feel like we hold space for other people in our lives and they should know how much you like them. And they should know how much you mean to them. And they should know, you know, I've had Rebbeim in my life and you're searching. Yo, just look at me and say something. Say you like me. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe it's not good for the guy. He did it. I don't know. It felt really good. It felt really good. He wanted to be around us. He wanted to be around me. And I think there's one other thing that I want to share, and I think it's really important. I'm really just saying one thing. I'm saying that there is a person who really created space for a human being to exist in his entirety. I don't know if he did it intentionally. I don't know. I don't know what. I have some inkling of what of things, but I don't know. I don't know actually what it was, but that's what tons of people experienced. Tons of people experienced. Someone was saying last night, I think it's such a good story to bring out the point. And this, I want to be clear. I think that I'm saying all the things that my Rebbe did for me, but really I'm also saying this one. I mean it. If you want to know if you have a Rebbe, if you want to, this I would test. Someone, Rabbi Oberlander had a period in his life where he was really busy. I mean, a lot of times in his life, he was really busy. And we'd get texts. Hi, Chesky, thinking about you. And then we'd respond, and he wouldn't respond. So someone last night said he was going through a really hard time in his life. It's an absolutely beautiful story. And he said, Rabbi Oberlander texted him that, and he sent back a big text. And afterwards he said, by the way, if you're not going to answer, don't ever call me again. The guy said, if you're just going to do this, drop the line and see how I'm doing, don't call me. I'm not going to call you. You won't call me. We don't need to talk to each other again. I hate this thing that you're doing. And the guy who was saying it was saying how it was so inappropriate. And I want to say, I think it's the most beautiful text in the world. If you really want to know, if you have a safe space, see what happens when you get mad at someone. See what happens when you express, let's say, human emotions about your Rebbe to your Rebbe. And people would, we got into a lot of fights with him, but we would say hard feelings to him. And the ability to hold, to listen, to not defend, to acknowledge that someone else is having an experience, even if he's not at fault, even if he's very busy. I feel like a lot of times we don't say, you know, if our Rebbe hurts us or if someone in our lives hurt us, we're so busy like answering up for them. They're so busy, you have to know, he's so busy. And I understand he's so busy, but do you? Because our hurt doesn't speak to the fact that you understand when you're hurt. And this person said a year later, Rabbi Oberlander texted him. After they spoke it out, Rabbi Oberlander apologized. A year later, he texted him. He said, by the way, I just want to remind you, I'm still thinking about that text. That text meant something to me. And I think that space, that's the safest space in the world. You want to know if you're safe somewhere? Share a feeling that might push someone away. See what happens. You want to know if you're really safe. And I think we mamish had that. We had this person in our lives that was so okay with us. So okay. Try it. Let's see what happens. It's going to be a tough week in Durham for a lot of people. I mean it. I think there's a question, you could ask. I don't know if this is the answer to the question, how does a person become like this? But I'll tell you what we experienced. It was really weird. It was like a weird experience. I mean, Oberlander lived like a really, really... Perky spoke about this last night. It was actually beautiful. He lived a really rich life. That's the word that I heard. He lived a really rich life. He had interests. He had his things. He was uncompromising about it. He had his schedule. He had his things. He had his friends. He had a life. He had his children, and he let us in. He let us into his life. I would go places. He would go to hang out. Now looking back, I trip out. He took me to places where he was with his friends. He hung out with his friends, and he brought us there. What is going on here? He let us in. He brought us along. He wasn't now I'm being a Rebbe. I'm giving you my time. And I know people are saying this, but then I have my time. He had his time, and I'm not saying that people shouldn't have their own time. I take plenty of my own time, but I think what I'm trying to say is when you live a rich and fulfilling life on your own, you can let people in, and that impacts people. I don't think I remember more than five things that he taught me in Torah. I listen to him still. I don't always This morning on my drive here, I was listening to Shiva from Rabbi Oberlander. I was a nice Vard. I felt so good listening to him. Listening to his voice. I feel like the impact that you have on people very rarely is the things that you actually say to them. It's the presence that you are for them. And to me, that's what I feel. That's what I want to share. I hope that people got a feeling of what Rabbi Oberlander means to me. And this gathering should be a, Iloy for his neshama, everything that we do in this yeshiva, really, I don't think we have to speak it out. Thank you for listening.
I think it would be weird, and we try not to be weird here, to have a gathering for Ayoblander on his yard, not to do song. We're a masifta of song. I do not like singing Shabbos songs during the week because they're Shabbos songs. I don't like singing Pesach songs on Sukkos because that's Pesach Sukkos here. I think a Ryoblander's yard site to sing Ko'ech Seif would be like right on. He sang Ko'ech Seif in his oineg, and that was a song of Shabbos, and his life was a song of Shabbos. So I want to, if the Chevra can, if let's sing together Ko'ech Seif, the song he taught. The Masifta Zelig Lieberman later brought it back to Durham. Rai Overlander brought it to the Masifta Ko'ech Seif, and on his yard site, for a Yid who was Bechinas Shabbos, Talmid Chama Bechinas Shabbos, I wanted to sing together Ko'ech Seif on his yard site. So it's on page for the Siddurim. I gave out Siddurim. It's on page 166. You get the words. It's on, in the Ashkenazic ones, page 166. And as he could be pious, a nice...
Yeah.
2 weeks. We're looking forward to 2 beautiful weeks of Zman and the success of the guys, guy after guy, having the conversations about next steps, about next year, brings out to us the tremendous aliyah that guys have had in yeshiva. Guy after guy describing, I speak to you, the drill this morning, describing their own, guys can articulate and express beautifully their own stories, their own growth. It should be an inui for his precious neshama. The Rabbi Nisham knows he put tremendous kaychas in yeshiva. The guys that we're trying to describe a person who, as best as we can, but you meet Rabbi Silverman, and he's describing, I was impacted. So then you get a sense. You meet Rabbi Wisnicki, you get a sense. He put tremendous amounts, and the Rabbi Nisham should taka give a tremendous aliyah to his neshama. All of us should be zeicha. Well, every single one of us, a tremendous success in our journeys, long, long years of hatzlacha, of simchas, of accomplishments, of celebrations, should be all of our lots. Thank you very, very much for being here this morning. Have an excellent afternoon. Mincha will be at 3 o'clock.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Eon shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekoymos on each shir, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS, that's 203-312-7427, or email info@shasilluminated.org.